God's word is so good. So Acts chapter 27, verse 27. If you don't have a Bible, if you want to raise your hand, someone will get one to you. It looks like we all have a Bible. Hey, will you stand with me? Verse 27, God's word says, "Now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes off the skiff and let it fall off. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implore them all to take food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival. Since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you.' And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food for themselves. And in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea." Lord, thank you once again, Lord, for your word. And Lord, in this life, we will have storms. Some we create, some we can avoid, some, Lord, that are just corrections, teachings, discipline, direction. But this life is full of storms. Lord, the wonderful thing is that you never forsake us in these storms. You're right there with us. So we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We find ourselves this morning in the middle of a storm that could have been avoided if they only would have listened. They only would have listened. They didn't have to go through this. From the beginning of the journey, all the signs were there. God warned them, and they weren't paying attention. However, Paul had been paying attention. From the very beginning, he saw the signs and all the warnings that God was giving, and he tried to warn them. He tried to say, "Hey, listen, don't do that. Don't go that direction." When their ship finally made it to Fair Haven in Crete, and we might have a map up there showing that direction, Paul warned them. He said, "Listen, don't go out to sea anymore. Stay here, winter here. I fear that if we go out, we're going to perish. We're going to lose not only the supplies, but our lives." Yet, Julius the centurion, he didn't take heed to Paul's word. He actually listened to the owner of the ship and really the captain and what they were saying. And they said, "Hey, listen, no, we can go 50 more miles. Just 50 more miles. We can get there to Phoenix. Phoenix is a great port. This port here is no good for us. It's going to be boring. 50 more miles. We can make it." So Julius decided to listen to them instead of godly counsel. And that would be a decision that they would live to regret. 50 miles turns into 400 or 500 miles out into the open oceans. And the Bible says that as they left the harbor there in Fair Haven, that the wind blew softly. Listen, what a deceit. As they're leaving the harbor, all of a sudden there's this soft wind. And the Bible says that they thought that they obtained the desire of their heart. Just like the enemy, everything looks so nice and neat, soft wind. And you're like, "Oh yeah, I obtained the desires of my heart." They thought they could get away with it. They thought they can do it. And they put out to sea, and quickly things changed. That soft wind turned into a raging storm, and they were tossed into the open ocean. The weather, as if you recall with me, was so bad that they started grabbing the tackle and throwing it overboard. And it says that eventually they even gave up any hope of surviving the storm. They thought, that's it, it's done, we're done with, we're going to die, we're going to perish. However, God stepped in. Paul had an angelic visit that night, and the angel said to Paul, listen, remember God's promises. God said, you're going to go to Rome and you will be at Rome. And God has given you these men. Not one of them will perish. So Paul, filled with encouragement, but more importantly, filled with the Holy Spirit, steps up in the middle of a storm, in the middle of hopelessness. And he gathers the men around and he speaks to them. He tells them, listen, men, you should have listened to me. You should have listened to what I said. We could have avoided this storm. We didn't need to be here. However, God in his grace and in his mercy, he says that you won't perish. You're not going to perish in this storm. We're going to make it. However, it's not going to be easy. You see, our ship is going to have to run aground in an island. In other words, they're going to shipwreck. Paul didn't sugarcoat God's message. He said, I want you guys to know something. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be repercussions for the decision that you made. You made a decision to go into the storms after I had warned you, after God had warned you, and there will be repercussions for your bad decisions. It's going to bring about heavy loss. Their failure to listen to reason would cause them to shipwreck, but their lives would be spared. They would lose their possessions. They would lose what they had, but they would live and have an opportunity to start all over. Paul tells them it's going to be painful, but you're going to make it, and it's going to be worth it. So that's where we pick up this morning. Here's these men, 276 of them, on a ship out in the open ocean, waves tossed to and fro, the winds howling, rain coming down, just battering them. And Paul speaks these words of comfort to them and warnings. But then a few days go by as they're still sailing. And all of a sudden they're like, well, nothing has changed. But God's promises are always true. They always come to pass. Take a look at verse 27 with me through verse 29 as you read along with me. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea, if you could imagine this, can you imagine such a storm? I don't know if you guys have ever been out at sea or fishing or, you know, and maybe hit a storm. Maybe a little one. Listen, when you're out there, these waves go up and down, and you're like, wow. You know, you wonder sometimes how those ships stay afloat. Maybe you've been in the military and those Navy ships. Oh, that is a sight to see. It is great to have lunch during those times. This ship is getting tossed to and fro in the Adriatic Sea, and it says about midnight, the sailors, they sense that they were drawing near to some land. So here it is, midnight, right? And all of a sudden, they're like, man, something's different. The waves, it feels a little different. And what do? It says it started to take soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. A fathom is equal to 6 feet, so it would be equal to 120 feet. They're getting closer to land. And then when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms or 90 feet. Then, fearing, listen to what it says, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern. And what do? And they prayed. They prayed for day to come. It's midnight. A storm. They think, man, I can't see. Is it going to be rocks, boulders, what's ahead? People that don't pray certainly do pray in times like this. They go before the Lord and it's like, Lord, let the sun come out. We need to see where we're going. Have some sort of direction, because at nighttime we're in those dark areas. When we're in those storms, we're blinded. It's bad enough being tossed to and fro and going all over the place, but they can't see. And they're like, Lord, give me some light. I want to see at least some sort of direction. So this ship is in the middle of a raging storm. And they think, man, we got no clue. We've just been tossed just about. We don't even know where we're at. They've forgotten what Paul had said, what God had said. It was unbeknownst to the crew, the ship was right on course to an island, just like God had said. Church, only because we're in rough seas doesn't mean we're not on God's course or that God is not in control. Only because we hit those storms and those waves, it doesn't mean that this is not the course that God has for us. And some storms are storms of correction. He had told them not to go. And the only way to get out of a storm of correction is to turn to the Lord and allow Him to steer the course of our lives. Sometimes we're in those storms and the Lord is doing something in us. We were disobedient. And there's that pounding and there's that fear and we're getting tossed all over the place. And listen, God is correcting us. Some people will not learn unless they go through the difficulties of life, through those things that they have created. They'll do it over and over and over again. And there's a time that God says, you know what? You don't listen to me. You don't listen to me. This is going to cost you. You're going to suffer severe loss. You're going to lose everything you have. But I'm going to save you. And you'll be able to start over again. Some people, that's the only way they listen. That's the only way they learn. Others, a little correction, a little direction will do. Well, these sailors panicked. They thought the ship is going to run aground and on the rocks, and they were done for. So they decided to take matters into their own hands. That's a good idea, right? It was taking matters into their own hands. They got them into the situation to begin with. Take a look at verse 30. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow or from the front, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. The crew panics. They want to jump ship. They were still relying on their own understanding, on their own power, on their own wisdom, on their own skills. And when that failed them, instead of repenting and trusting God, instead of turning to God, said, "Lord, I understand I made an error. You told me not to go this way. You told me not to do this, yet I still did it. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I want to turn from those things." Instead of repenting, they decided to jump ship. They said, "We're getting out of here. We're going to get those lifeboats and jump in them." Jumping ship is not the answer. Listen, jumping ship is not the answer. Don't jump ship. There are many that rather jump ship and do it their own way than return to God. There are many that jump ship and that they don't make it. They continue that direction under that storm, and in their stubbornness, they said, I'm going to do it. I got into this. And they decide to do it their own way, and they crash and burn. Instead of allowing the Lord to take care of those things, God had told them, stay on the ship. Their decisions had consequences. He told them, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But I'm going to get you to your destination if you trust me. Well, Paul sees what they're doing. These guys are trying to pull a fast one, right? They're like, we're going to save our own skin. So he sees them. And he goes to the centurion, to Julius, and he says, "Hey, listen, unless these men stay on board, you will not be saved. What's interesting is that Julius, the centurion, now takes heed to Paul's word. He had taken the counsel of these men that were ungodly, and now he realizes, Paul, this man is wise. This man follows the Lord. There's favor, the favor of God on this man's life, and he listens. He listens, and the soldiers cut the rope of the lifeboat. Can you imagine that? Think about this. The storms, everything's going on, and all of a sudden, these guys are trying to sneak out. There's a lifeboat on the side, and they're like, man, this is our lifeboat. If we stay here, we're dying. And the soldiers come and just cut the only avenue of escape for them. That was their only avenue of escape. I imagine they were thinking, how foolish. How foolish. You just took our lifeline. Why would you do that? That's their only means of escape. Sometimes God has to cut the cords of our own understanding in order to save us. We need to stay on the ship. We don't jump ship only because those things that we trust in have been taken away. Listen, it may look foolish to them, but this was a blessing to them. They were trusting in their strength and their wisdom and their own intellect. They thought this is the only way out, and God sometimes brings us to that place where he says, no, no, no. There is no way of escape. You can't do this. Well, I know, I'll do this. No, you can't do that. And he closes that door and he cuts those ropes. Well, I'm going to do this. And God says, no. And it's God's precious hand and his love and his grace that he says, I'm cutting everything you trust in that I may save you, that you may trust in me. We all have storms in our lives. Some like this one are some that could have been avoided. And others are just part of life, part of growth. Nevertheless, God uses storms in our lives. One way that he uses them is to reveal what's in us, who we really trust on. Do we really trust in him, or do we trust in those things? Where is our faith placed? Sometimes we say, Lord, I trust you, but I got my own way out. Thank you. Let me pray. Help me, but I got it. Another way is by removing those things that we trust in and that we keep trying to escape to. And he teaches us to trust in the one that has the power to stop the storm. He says, you're looking at the boat. You're looking at a lifeboat. You're looking at these little things. I created all things. That storm, I have the power to stop it. I have the power to start it. Turn with me to Luke 8:22, if you will. Grab your Bibles and turn left two books. I give you the page number again in a second. That joke never gets old. You're like, yes, it does, Pastor. Stop saying it. Chapter 8, verse 22. Chapter 8, verse 22. Yeah. Luke. We're going to go through verse 25 there. Look at what it says. Follow along with me. It says, now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. Notice that Jesus is in the boat with them. He didn't forsake them. He was in the boat with them, and he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. He gave them a destination. He says, we're going somewhere. He told Paul, you're going somewhere. He told those men, we're going somewhere. This is a promise. God gives his word. It's going to come to pass. And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. Jesus wasn't worried. He fell asleep. I'm not concerned about this. and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose, and what did he do? He rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, Where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, Who can this be? For he commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him. Listen, nature is subject to God. We trust in the things that God created, the things of man that our hands create. Nature is subject to God, to Jesus. Turn back with me to Acts. Verse 33. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, Today is the 14th day you have waited and continue without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. Paul reassures the men, he encourages them, he tells them, take some food, gain some strength. God has promised that not a hair from your head will fall. Paul reminds them of God's promise. Here's Paul in the middle of a storm, he's gone through everything. He was the one that trusted in God in the beginning, he was the one that saw the signs, the warnings, he's the one that warned them. And all the way through when the storm was raging, when the wind was kicking and the waves would come on board, Paul was anchored. He was anchored to Jesus Christ. The boat was getting thrown all over the place, but not Paul. His heart, his soul was anchored on Jesus. And he tells the men, listen, take food. God has promised that not a hair on your head will fall. There's safety in God's hand and his promises. And there's no better place to be. But we need to trust God. We need to trust his promises. Sometimes we take the things that we like and we say, yeah, I like this promise. I believe this one. But no, I don't like this one. They said it would be difficulty. They said that they were going to shipwreck. Well, I like the part that we're going to make it, but not the shipwreck part. God's word comes to pass. Jesus said in Luke 12:6, he says, Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, or basically 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hair of your head are all numbered. And I look around and, you know, some of us, it's easier to number than others. And Jesus says, Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. God keeps track and cares for sparrows, for birds. We see them all over, right? He keeps care and track of these birds. And he says, look, you can buy 5 of these for 2 pennies. But none of them falls without me knowing about it. And if God values the life of a sparrow, how much more does he value your life? There are many people that are walking around hopeless. Listen, there's one thing outside of the church that don't know Jesus, but there's many in the church that have forgotten that Jesus is our hope, that they placed their trust in Jesus and for salvation, but they left it at that. Jesus, you're good enough to save me, but not for the rest of the things in my life. And we think, well, maybe he just doesn't care about me. Maybe he doesn't care about my life, the things going on. And you can start doing the woe is me. And you can start going into a depression. You can start going into that dark place. Listen, none of those things are from God. God loves you. Your life is so valuable and so precious that he misses nothing. He knows every detail of your life. He knows every single thing that's going to happen in your life, and he cares for you. If at any point you think that God doesn't care for you, just look at the cross. Look at Jesus at the cross. How can we say he doesn't care for us? He gave his very best. He gave his life. He suffered for us. He says, I'm going to go there that you don't have to go there. I love you, and I'm going to do everything I can to save you. When you get to those places where you think that, man, my life is not, it's not good. And God doesn't listen. God doesn't care. That's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God loves you. The Bible says that he hung the stars for you and for me. Think about that. Astronomers go out and look at the stars and they try to discover this and so forth. God says, yeah, all that, things complicated, stars and sun. Here's what you need to know, that all those things were hung for my people. And that's the end of the mystery. You can save billions of dollars. That's it. That's some amazing love. Verse 35, and when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God. How did that look like? Rocking back and forth, going all over the place, and Paul, calm in the midst of the storm, he grabs bread as the guys gather around, and he thanks God. It says, in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Paul gave thanks in the middle of a colossal storm. In the middle of a storm. And sometimes we have issues giving thanks to God in the good times. Paul thanked God in the middle of a storm. He remembered God's promises when he needed them the most. It can be hard sometimes to give thanks in the middle of hardships and difficulties when things come our way, when sickness comes, when we lose our jobs, when we're in that dark place again where you may go into a depression or whatever. You name the thing. You name whatever it may be. It can be hard to give thanks to God. Maybe you created something. Maybe you destroyed something. You made a decision and now you're suffering the consequences. And it's like, you know, Paul knew that God was with him, that God had not forsaken him. In the midst of all those things, there's no better time to thank God because he loves us. Because the Bible says that he chastens those whom he loves. He loves us. As a child, when we misbehave, there's a time, and he is patient and he's loving, that he says, you know what? I have to take you to the woodshed. And it's going to hurt you more than me. No, that's not what he said. It hurts me more than you. It does. God doesn't want to do that. He is a whole lot more patient than any of us. But we're to give thanks. And listen, we don't have to give thanks for the things. We have to give thanks for God, for whom he is, for his nature. It can be hard to give thanks. Listen to what 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says. He says, rejoice always. When do we rejoice? When things are going well, right? When we got some cash in our pocket, when we got the sun is out. No, it says, rejoice always. And then when do we pray? What does it say? Pray without ceasing. When do we pray? Without ceasing. And then, when do we give thanks? It says, verse 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul gave thanks in the middle of a life-altering storm. And his thankfulness had an effect on all those men around him, all those people around him. It changed everything for them. Take a look. Verse 36 says, then they were all encouraged. Look, there's a storm. Everything is raging. Everything is going on. And Paul stops and really takes communion to remind him of Jesus Christ in the middle of everything. And then what happens? They were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all, we were 276 persons on that ship. That was a good-sized ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the weed into the sea. Had to lighten that load in order to make the ship come up a little bit further so they can try to make their way in here. We're going to learn that in a second. But here's the thing. Thankfulness in the midst of the storm gave them courage, gave them confidence, and increased their faith. Listen, placing our faith in Jesus Christ is not a foolish venture. It's a certain one. God is certain. Everything else shifts in this world. The Bible says that Jesus is the anchor of our souls. When everything else moves, everything else gets shaken, Jesus is not rattled. He doesn't move. He is our anchor. Their faith, Paul's faith, changed everything for 276 people on that ship. And their hopelessness was turned into hopefulness. And the Bible says that hope in Jesus doesn't disappoint. Romans 5:3 says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." Wow. Again, Paul, you said, be joyful in everything and all things, give thanks. And he says, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. When we hit those things, man, that teaches us to persevere. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given it to us. When we go through those things and we place our trust in Jesus, it's building our character and it's building our faith. And then we come to the place that we place everything on Jesus. We learn to rely on everything. Everything, we say, it's all in Jesus. And when we place our hope in Jesus, He never disappoints. He never disappoints. Verse 39. When it was day, they did not recognize the land. So they're looking out. The sun comes up. And imagine this with me. There's storm still going. And they look out and they don't know where they're at. But they observed a bay with a beach. There's a little bay here. I forget the name of it. I don't know if it's Coos Bay that I went there to fishing a while back. I never want to go there again. Listen, it's about that tiny, and it's like you got to time the waves as they come on in, and I think it's like the smallest, second smallest in the world. And I'm thinking, what were they thinking? Anyway, that was a side note there. They see a bay. They see a bay. And they see sand, and they're like, okay, we got an idea. This, we can do something here. So it says that they observed a beach onto which they plan to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, losing the rudders, that's with what you steer, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. The crew cut the anchors, and they did away with the rudder. They lifted up the mainsails, and they caught the wind. Where they see the sandbar, and they're like, we're going to make it there. You know, it's like, this is the only place that we're going to go ahead and do it. And they cut those anchors, and then that which with they steer, and they're like, okay, this is the mainsail. Let's head forward. And as they did that, they got stuck. They didn't quite make it to what they were aiming for. It says that the prow or the front of the ship bottomed down as they headed forward where these two waters meet. And as they were stuck, all of a sudden those waves, if you can imagine that, are just pounding the ship on back. And how bad must have those waves been for a huge ship like that to start falling apart? It must have been horrific. Verse 42 says, and the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim away and escape. So you guys know this. We went over this before. If a Roman soldier would lose a prisoner, they would pay with their lives. So they thought, hey, listen, this is not going to happen. Okay, we're going to shipwreck here. Let's get rid of the problem, take him out, and we'll see what we can do. However, God was protecting Paul. Verse 43, but the centurion wanted to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards surfboards. That's the first place that we see them. And some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Wow, it was just as God had told them. They would run aground, but all would be saved. God had promised Paul not that one, he said, not one man is going to die. And listen, when things seemed out of control, God was always in control. When you look at your lives, when things are going bad, when things are chaotic, trust in God. He's always in control. We're done with chapter 27. And in 2 weeks, in about 2 hours, we covered this portion of Paul's journey, and it's not done. This journey really took months. We've gone through it in a couple hours, but it took months. It was a rough trip. There were a lot of challenges, but God was leading the whole way. Sometimes, church, in the middle of difficulties and challenges, sometimes when we're in a storm, it's hard to see God's hand in it. You know, we're looking for God and we're looking in the situation, and sometimes we're like, man, where's God in all this? However, when he gets us through it, we can look back and see that he was with us the whole time. That he never forsook us. He never left us. Some of you can relate. Maybe you backslid. Some of you maybe are there. But listen, I can tell you from my end that when I was in that place where I backslid almost 20 years ago now, that everything looked chaotic. Everything looked dark. Everything was a mess. It was truly a storm, and I felt there was like no way out. Everything I did, it was like, man, just crashing all about me. And I was praying, Lord, help me. Give me a new start. I want to start all over again, Lord. I messed these things up. I didn't listen to you. I went my own way. You told me not to do this, and I did it. And I thought, God's not hearing me. I don't see God's hand in all this thing. Where is he? I can't see him. I messed up too bad. He doesn't want to hear from me. And as time goes by, and God gets us out of that, and then he gets us in a church, and we're getting out of this place, this dark place that we're in, and finally years go by. It wasn't a week. It wasn't a month. It was years. I look back and I say, man, God was here. He was here and he was teaching me this lesson here, and I needed to learn this lesson deeply. I needed to learn this in such a manner that I would not forget. But he already had prepared everything, where we would land and what would happen there, how he would grow us there, how he would give us a new start. Sometimes we look back and we're like, Lord, where were you? You know, but when he gets us through it, we realize, yeah, you were there. It was me that couldn't see. It was me that was blinded. When we trust God with our entire lives, we can rest. We can rest that we're in his hands. And sometimes we make those decisions that we wish we wouldn't have. And maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I shipwrecked. I did. I lost my possessions. I lost things. I lost what I had. But God saved you. And that's good, because you can start all over again. Because God is the God of new beginnings. He says, I want to give you a new beginning, a new start. Paul took bread in the middle of a storm. He took communion. That was pretty cool. I thought, man, what's a better time to take communion, remember what God did for us, than in the middle of a raging storm, that we look back and we look at the cross and say, no, God did it all. So this morning we're going to be taking communion, and as Pat makes his way up here and leads us into a worship song, there'll be some men passing out communion, and I'm going to ask you just to hold on to the elements. We're going to take communion together. Listen, maybe you're here and you feel, man, you just described my life. I have sailed some rough seas, and you feel like you've lost so much. and maybe you feel like you're not going to make it. Listen, you're going to make it. Jesus says, you're going to make it. We just put our trust in Him. Amen? And finally,